Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? This is Aaron, with me, Stefan. The first ever in the playoffs edition of our podcast.
I was not expecting to do an episode like this so soon.
Yeah, I thought like maybe, you know, 3 to 4 years from now, we could we could talk about it if everything broke right. Well, I think that we thought there was a 50% chance at the beginning
of
the season.
That's true. You can go back and listen. We said it was a coin flip, and I think we were right.
How are you enjoying, like, caring about the playoffs again?
It's weird. It's obviously super stressful. I don't think I hate Nashville yet.
No.
I think the thing with Nashville is that, like, they're, like, a likable team. And even, like, with their fans trying to shit talk and stuff, it's, like...
It's cute.
First, it's cute, and it's, like, look. And I this goes for, like, Oilers fans and Leafs fans who are joining in on the shit talking, too. And it's, like... You know, like, nothing, like, literally at this point, there's nothing you guys can say that can hurt us.
Yeah.
And it's so nice having that, like, invincibility potion or whatever you want to call it, right? Like,
yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, like, you can't hate them any more than we do, right? Like,
exactly. Exactly. So I think, like that has helped. But on the other hand, like, I am very stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. And like, but I don't know. I mean, I think just like hating Nashville less than I thought I would. The hate's not there just yet. And I think it's because nothing particularly like contentious has happened.
Yeah. It feels like we're not really into the meat and potatoes of the series yet. Like,
no dirty hits or anything yet. Right.
Like, I think there hasn't been anybody on Nashville that's like jumped out and done backbreaking things to the Canucks. Cause you think of like other villains from the past, right?
Yes.
Marchand, listening on the radio today, they brought up, remember Ben Eager for San Jose?
Oh, Jesus.
Doesn't that give you PTSD?
And Chicago as well, when he was on Chicago, right?
Yeah. Like those guys would do dirty shit and the Canucks would retaliate and would get burned on the power play or penalty kill, I suppose.
Oh, like Bufflin and like Ferland.
Bufflin and Ferland, like great villains because they like scored a bunch of goals and like hit us hard and like fucking made us lose. Where like so far in this series, kind of feel like the Canucks beat themselves in game two. Like,
I mean, look, I was at the game. It is the single most frustrating Canucks game I have ever been to. And probably ever watched.
Yes.
Like, it was insane how many... So they missed, like, multiple open nets.
Gaping.
Saros made some insane saves, obviously. They hit a couple posts. Miller's stick broke twice at, like, the worst spot. Like, it was just, like, bad luck after... And obviously, they're Nashville's doing...
All right, they tried to shut us down because we were speaking too much truth to power, but we're back. We're talking about Stefan being at the game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was very fun. Obviously, any playoff game, even like a really bad loss, is still fun to an extent because you're at the playoff game. Like, it was so loud. It was unbelievably loud.
I have a question for you at this game. Were you taking part in the Let's Go Casey chant?
At the very beginning. I don't know how I feel about the individual player chants. Like, first of all, I know it's like a Larscheiders thing, which I'm not.
Yeah.
Hey, Larscheiders, by the way, you guys were the problem for like 8 years. Like, yeah, you stand up at the game and you have like funny little chants and that's great and everything. But you guys were like on Jim Benning's fucking nutsack for like over a decade. So like, I don't think the player chants are always the best thing in the world, especially, I think especially for a goalie maybe, where it's like they want to just kind of focus. Like, I think it's one thing if it's like JT Miller or Connor, like after they've done something cool.
Yeah, the JT Miller one, fuck, that's cool as hell. I think the Connor Garland one, cool as hell. But when they were chanting, "Let's go Casey," at the beginning of the game, it felt... I don't know, it just like felt very Poindextery. I didn't like it. And then to have that happen and then a completely, I don't know, completely fluky goal is fair, because that goal, like,
Demko,
yes, it took
that,
a weird bounce, but Demko also Casely highly overcommitted.
He was so far over on the one side of the net.
Yeah.
And it just went in at like 2 miles an hour. It was insane. And then, I mean, we talked about this where like, I don't know that they didn't lose the game because of him, but he was not nine goals on 12 shots. Like that's bad. Sorry. That's just bad.
You can't be doing that, even though like I can kind of rationalize away all those goals to why it's not absolutely his fault, but it's the playoffs and you need a big that's mainly on Juulsen. Third goal mainly on Pedersen coughing it up at the blue line that.
And I think it went in off Pedersen, maybe is what it felt like to me. It was weird. I'd have to look at it again. It looked like it bounced off. I don't know. Anyway, but again, that was a bad rebound. I think you could say. Like he had issues with the puck all night in terms of which we expect, right? Like rebound control not good. Just like fumbling the puck a little bit, dropping it. It felt worrisome. And it was a nervous energy. Like once after that goal happened, it was just like everyone in the arena was just like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like just the worst possible start.
I tweeted this yesterday, but it would be super funny if in game three, the Nashville fans like start by chanting, "Let's go, Casey." Like, I kind of hope they're astute enough to do that because that would be a great troll. So definitively, you weren't taking part in that when it happened, because I fear that like while I thought it was corny on TV, if I'm like in the fucking moment at the stands, I'm probably going, "Yeah, let's go, Casey. I'm at game two."
It like had just started up. So I think I probably would have gotten into it after like one or two more chants when it was getting loud enough, but like, man, it was just like,
God, that's fucking funny. And speaking of Casey DeSmith, we got to play this fucking this TikTok that was going around yesterday. Did I link it in our chat? Yeah. So I'm gonna play this on the podcast. You guys got to listen to this shit.
Hey Casey, this is a message for you.
If you're not Casey DeSmith, keep scrolling.
Casey, lock in. You got the entire city behind you.
And the best team in front of you.
We remember your shutout against the Wild in December. And December 19th, you beat the Preds.
Casey, we believe in you.
Casey, you got this. In DeSmith, we trust.
Casey, you got this. We believe in you. I don't really believe in him. I think he'd be okay. I think going with him in game three is still the right decision. There was a lot of talk about Silovs, right? And I think in the most like simplistic terms or whatever, like Silovs has probably the higher ceiling, but also the lower floor.
Given the world championships, right? Like he's proved he's done something like that.
Here's something interesting about those damn world championships. And this would be shout out to Laddie from Halford and Bruff, Greg Ballack. You know that tournament? So Casey DeSmith was the other goalie, right, in the finals for Team USA.
Oh, I didn't.
And in the tournament, the save percentage was Silovs was 0.003 higher.
Wow.
So functionally the same. Yeah. Not really. Like if it's, you know, 917 versus 914, like really who gives a shit? So that whole world championship narrative maybe a little bit sensationalized. Yeah. And like, I think the Silovs card, like, say DeSmith goes in and has a fucking stinker in game three. Then, yeah, sure, go to Silovs, because really, what do you have to lose at that point? Well, besides another game and going down 3-1. But I think if you were to put him in for game three, it would probably ruin DeSmith's confidence entirely. Like, that ship has sailed. We think you suck, and now we're going with this guy. So if, like, Silovs is bad, which is completely reasonable. He's what, 21 years old, playing in a like a loud opposing barn in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. Like
looks exactly like me, by the way. I could not fucking believe that one picture. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, the one that like you texted and your mom thought it was you.
She thought it was me. Yeah. So multiple during the game, multiple people texted me because they showed Silovs on the bench. And he's got longer hair than me, but he had like the same dirty mustache I have sometimes. He did have a bit of a soul patch, which I don't have. But he looked so similar to me, it was like jarring. Mm-hmm. And multiple people texted me and they're like, "Oh my God, like he looks just like you," or whatever. And then I sent the picture to my mom, and she was like, "Oh, who took that picture of you?" It's like, no, that's not your son.
it's wild that like. She said that and like didn't recognize her own son well enough.
I know. It's crazy.
The one interesting thing about the Silovs question, right, is that twice when Jim Rutherford has won cups, he's gone with a really young goalie.
Yeah.
With both Matt Murray and Cam Ward. So yeah. Cam Ward yeah. is born in 84 and they won in 2006, was it?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the math on that? 84 plus 6. 22. 16, 22. So yeah, like yeah. a year younger than Seelovs. And then Matt Murray, yeah. born in 94, and he won the cup in 2016. So yeah, like 22. So okay. there is kind of a precedent there for going with an unproven goalie yeah. Who's young and then goes on a big run. The yeah. the Demko injury is, I don't know, like say the Canucks win the Nashville series, which I think is completely possible.
It's totally possible.
Like still within it's grasp. Totally it's possible. A 1-1 series. Yeah. Like you yeah. can't lose too much sleep over a loss like that, yeah. even though ideally they would have won, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. I just like look to the future. And it's really hard to imagine them getting by a series with, I assume, Edmonton with DeSmith and Net, right?
It's terrifying to think about. I mean, I will say Edmonton losing yesterday made me feel a lot better.
Yes.
In general. I think for me, the worry, I don't think going into this, like if Demko was healthy, I would feel great, but I'd still feel terrified against Edmonton because of what they're mm-hmm. capable of, right? And so I don't know. I mean, I think Edmonton losing yesterday, yes, it's one game, but that made me kind of realize like, okay, I mean, they could still lose to LA, which would be fucking incredible.
They have their warts as well, right? Like Skinner has yeah. not looked good. I don't yeah. think they have a particularly good defense
yeah.
and they're not that deep. It's just, you have a couple of like Terminators on their team that are really, really, really scary.
McDavid with
so
five assists in game one. Like,
yeah, like, like seeing them do that in game one and then immediately Demko gets hurt. It's fuck, we're fucked. And then
basically like they just have like a free path to the conference finals. Right. Is the way yeah. kind of putting it. And like, look, they could win the next three games against LA like easily, right? They could have won yesterday yeah. easily. So
like, even though they like were down really the entire game, like it was 2-0 and then 3-1 and then 3-3 and then 4-3, then 4-4. Yeah. Like they never held a lead in that game.
It's just like such a good opportunity for Edmonton. And if they fuck it up, I mean, I will love that, because the thing with the playoffs is like, you have to get so lucky in like every level, basically, mm-hmm. right? Like you have to not get injuries. Okay, well, we don't have that. We've already, that's out the window already, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have a relatively easy path to the finals. Okay, well, Nashville was a good pull in the first round, mm-hmm. obviously, prior
what?
To the Demko.
Hold up. Way fucking better than Vegas, I'd like to add for the people out
God.
There that were saying Nashville's terrifying and
Bro.
You want Vegas because they haven't been playing well going into the playoffs. Patted myself on the back for saying I thought that was wrong.
Yeah, that is so, that's, I mean, Vegas is like horrifying. They're so good. I mean, that being said, I could easily see Dallas.
Close games against Dallas. They've been entertaining. Like Dallas has been in it throughout. And like, if you tell me that Dallas wins 4 out of the next 5 and win the series somehow, like I wouldn't be shocked, because that's a really, really good team. Like true talent, definitely one of the best in the league. But I think watching the games yesterday and just kind of taking a broader look at the playoffs was sobering to me as like the punished Canucks fan, because you look around and you're like, okay, well, Washington and the Islanders, who fucking cares? They're going to lose anyways. I'm not sympathizing with them. But yeah, Dallas, incredible season, first in the conference. And then they pull LA and or not LA, Las Vegas, and lose two games at home. That fucking sucks. If that was happening to the Canucks, I would be so like emo about it, right?
Losing my mind. I mean, I was feeling so bummed out after game two, and just but then I think you think about it and it's like going into Nashville, just get a split.
Get another
all you
split.
Have to do is get a split, right? The worry for me is they get blown out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's sort of my worry here, and I certainly think that
My hot
happen.
Take is I don't think they're going to get blown out tomorrow. That's
right.
I'm going to wait. I can play a hot take horn because I'm recording this, I think. there we go. Nice. So, yeah, like the Dallas, that sucks for them. You look at the Winnipeg Colorado series, 1-1, both goalies can't stop shit for fuck. If you're Winnipeg, you're probably freaking out about the play of Connor Hellebuck, right?
Yeah, what the hell happened to him? And holy shit.
I mean, I don't know. They were playing Brossois quite often down the stretch, yeah, so he was getting some rest, but he was still a big workhorse starter, right?
Yeah.
Edmonton, they're not too impressed with how their goaltending's going, right? They're in the exact same position in the series that the Canucks are. Like, LA stole one on the road. They have home ice advantage now. Exact same situation going in tomorrow. Just a quick sidebar here. Really fucking stupid that Edmonton, Vancouver, and Winnipeg are all playing tomorrow evening, and there's no late games tonight on Thursday.
Love that. Great work, NHL. I mean, I know, look, I know a lot of it is like scheduling. There's concerts. Yeah. It is tough to schedule, obviously, but like, goddamn, NHL is so bad at scheduling shit. And what time is the game on Sunday? Like 2:30 Pacific?
Yeah, it's like in the afternoon, which works out for me because I can like still stream because my like two big nights for streaming on Twitch are Friday and Sunday. Yeah. And so I had been like, hey, guys, not going to be there. Hey, we're pushing Fortnite to Saturday this week. Got an important hockey game to watch. So I'm happy that it isn't on Sunday afternoon. So I'm not completely delinquent. But
yeah,
that's having an afternoon game blows. And then I guess that means there's no there's no Canadian teams playing on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. I think it's just Vegas and Dallas.
That sucks, man. I mean, that's so stupid. I don't know. The scheduling, the NHL always fucks it up. I don't know what they're doing. I'm nervous for the game tomorrow, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also, like we said before, I think the hate is not there yet. I think, will it be there tomorrow if Nashville runs
maybe
out of the barn? Probably. But also, like, I think getting the rug pulled out from under us with the Demko thing has made it so like I just don't know if I have the energy for hatred right now. I'm just like, I was just so bummed out. That news was just like the most deflating thing. Like,
did you
like just coming off that high of the win, right? And then the immediate next news item is, oh, your starting goalie is probably out for like a month.
Yeah, did you hear Dhaliwal's update today? It was actually kind of positive.
He might, you know, if they get to the second round, he could come back late second round, which is better than I had been hearing.
Yeah, so it's not probably a couple of month thing, but it is instead.
No surgery either.
Yeah, surgery. He's traveling with a team. It's not like he's going to play. I'm sure he just like wants to be around the boys, right? But that's all encouraging. And it sounds like you just have to rest type injury. So my knowledge of knees is it's hard to diagnose when there's a lot of swelling still.
Yeah.
And it like might not come up on an MRI, so I assume it's like swollen. This is like more of a broader point, but it really sucks that it was a non-contact injury and that he's had two knee injuries in 6 weeks.
I've been thinking about this and I feel like it's going to be like, especially if they lose in the first round, that's going to be the big story this summer, I think, is like, do the Canucks need to like bring in like a 1B guy?
I think they do. I was thinking this like earlier in the year when he first got hurt, right? That it was in my podcast notes and I didn't say it. But I would love to see them spend a bit of extra money in the offseason on a like workhorse backup / 1B goaltender. The two that jump to mind are like Stolarz or Brossois, right? Like someone of that ilk who you're paying like
Brossois 200. Would be interesting because like he looked really, I feel like he probably wants like a starting job somewhere. I was talking to Colin about this and we were thinking like Columbus or something would make sense.
They have so many goalies though already, right? Like they have like Merzlikins making $5 million. Like here's an idea.
Merzlikins, I think they're going to try and get rid of.
If they want to retain 50% on Merzlikins, and so he's like $2.5 million over the next however many years. That's something I would like, you know, be okay with. I know he wants to be a starter, so it probably wouldn't be great. But hell, you're going to get 6 weeks of starting given Demko's injury history.
Yeah.
Because I think we just have to come to terms with the fact that he is an injury prone goaltender.
He really is. Like, I'm looking at his injury history, right?
Yeah, he had that hip surgery in college.
Yeah, knee injury in 2019, lower body. Oh, like this isn't actually, I got to see one that actually shows like.
It's hard to tell because like now in hockey, it's just like lower body, upper body.
Yeah.
But
so
it was a knee last year as well, right?
Yeah, concussion, December 2019, missed like 10 days. Day-to-day, 2022, undisclosed injury, day-to-day. Oh, that was the end of the year anyway. But knee injury, December 1st, 2022, out for 6 weeks. Came back end of February. Then another lower body injury, March of this year. I mean, I just think he's, I don't know, man. Like, it does, and he's 28, right? He's, you know, obviously that's like still like
he's super young in the grand scheme of things.
But like, I don't know. Like, you look at someone like Corey Schneider, right?
Where, yeah.
His
phenomenal goalie.
Derailed by injuries, right? And you were like, it's not like he's going to get less injury prone. Well, right?
Yeah. And like, goaltending is not a natural thing for the human body, right? It's like pitching in baseball where you're not supposed to be in a butterfly position that frequently. And I mean, we look at game one of that save against Beauvillier, right?
Oh my God. I mean, what a save.
Which, and how like eternal return is it that Beauvillier got that like cheeky ass goal to start game two after being robbed? Ouroboros. Anyways. Yeah, so he makes that incredible save, and Jake Allen in the intermission was saying, like, I couldn't make that. Or maybe he didn't say that, but, like, Elliot Friedman, like, snitched on him the next day on the radio.
I think Bieksa did. It was, like, it was after the game, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Bieksa had just the vest on to make fun of Friedman.
Yeah.
And he was telling the guy, he's like, yeah, Jake Allen told me off camera he couldn't make that save.
Yeah, and, so, like, not a lot of NHL goalies can, because you have to, like, push across from the post, and it's hard on the body, and it's, like, insane flexibility. Like, he's doing things that are, like, insane, but not a lot of people can do them for a reason, because it's really fucking hard. So, yeah, just to round off that point, it sucks because the Canucks don't have a ton of cap space this offseason, especially if they're not moving off of like one of their, like Mikheyev, for example, which I think that should be probably a priority to try and like ship him out somewhere. Sucks you're probably gonna have to add sweeteners. Maybe there's like a hockey deal to be made. I don't know. But spending close to $5 million on him is bad, I think.
Yeah.
And it, so it sucks to earmark off some of that money that's like, they will be able to spend, hopefully to retain some UFAs, on extra goaltending. But I think given the position that they're in now, and this is with like a $1.5 million backup, like if DeSmith wasn't there and they were rolling with Seelovs, I don't think that's, and that was the only option, Tolopilo is your backup.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be feeling too fucking good. So I mean, there needs to be someone that they really trust, that they're happy to give every, if it's not every second, like every third game too, of no matter what next year, just to try and keep Demko healthy.
I mean, again, this is why, and how many times have we said this, just draft a fucking goalie with your last pick every single year, and just to have in your back pocket, right? Like, you look at someone, like a team like Anaheim, obviously they have John Gibson, Dostal looks incredible, but then they have Damian Clara over in Sweden, the Italian goalie, looks great. Klang, I think, in the AHL, and they have like two other pretty solid goalie prospects. And it's like, yeah, like if you have those guys, it's like worst case scenario, okay, you have a trade surplus, right? Yeah.
I want to see who's available in free agency for goalies this offseason. Matt Murray
is like the big one.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Murray.
Carter Hart's an RFA.
Okay. Well,
Ilya. They were saying Samsonov last year, right? And now it's Samsonov. It was okay. Maybe it's a Mandela effect. We're living in a simulation, but Dreger from Seattle.
Okay.
Swayman's RFA. He's gonna get paid. They're probably moving out Allmark. That's the bugaboo, right?
Yeah.
Kaapo Kähkönen. I mean, behind a good team, but did he play particularly well in New Jersey? I don't think so.
I don't think he did. Yeah.
Cam Talbot. Who knows?
I mean, there's no one who really jumps at, like, Brassois is the most interesting one just because of how well he played for Winnipeg, but how much of that is just Winnipeg being good too? But he did apparently look very good throughout the year.
Alex Nedeljkovic,
could be worth a
Stolarz, like I'm sure he's gonna get paid somewhere. Don't want Scott Wedgwood, Phoenix Copley, Antti Raanta, get another injured guy. James Reimer, no thank you.
Nope.
Pavel Francouz, he's hurt as well.
Retired.
Did he retire?
I think he fully retired. Huh. He's was it concussions or was it something else?
I don't know. That's another interesting thing. Like, if you want to like feel better about yourselves, he played like the entire conference finals when Colorado won the cup. Last year, also, both teams in the first round played their backup goalies.
Look at goalies that have won the Stanley Cup recently. A lot of them suck ass, right? So
that's why I'm not completely, you know, suicidal about last night's result. And the Demko thing is, like, I've seen like bad to mediocre goalies win before, but the team in front of them has to be awesome. And I guess I can move on to our next big thing to discuss here is the team hasn't been awesome in front of Vancouver. So, or in front of Vancouver, in front of the goalies. So we really need them to pick it up in that department.
I think so. I don't know. It's weird. Like, obviously you look at like the deserve to win o meter, which I hate looking at as a fan, because you're only looking at that after you've lost. But it was like 75-25 Vancouver, right? Like, shot attempts were fucking insane. So, like, I also don't know. It's weird, because like I was at the game. I watched the whole thing. Obviously, I was there. I still don't know if the Canucks played, because they only let in 12 shots, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I can't tell if the Canucks played a good defensive game, or Nashville just, like, I mean, in the third, Nashville just stopped trying to score and just fully collapsed. Like, that's obvious enough, right? But I feel like they were really, I don't know, the Canucks were okay defensively outside of like two huge gaffes, and that's kind of about it, right? And Nashville got some good bounces their way, and that happens in the playoffs, right? Like, I do think, again, you run back that game, 9 times out of 10, the Canucks win that game.
Like, I'm really conflicted about that game, looking at the underlyings, and then obviously watching the whole thing too.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to convince me that if a team controls 74% of Corsi at 5-on-5 and have an expected goals of 72%, that over a long enough sample size of a 7-game series, they're going to lose that series.
Yeah.
But watching the game, Nashville scored first early, and they had a very clear and obvious game plan on how they're going to prevent the Canucks from scoring and prevent them from getting shots on net with their insane amount of block shots. So while the Canucks did have a bunch of offensive zone time and a ton of shot attempts, they weren't really risking scoring that many goals. You know, like, there's the Suter chance, right? Great save by
unreal. By Saros. We had like the perfect, we were right above that. We had the perfect view of it, and it was just, it was an incredible.
I thought it was going to go in watching the broadcast. I was like ready to cheer, and it didn't happen. There was the Joshua chance that was also really close. There was Miller's broken stick on that one timer on the empty net. And then the PD empty net is the big one. So it's not like they were completely infallible in how they defended, and there was no chance that the Canucks weren't going to like tie that game. And all, like, I'm looking at the underlyings here. It's kind of interesting going period through period, because I heard a lot of commentary that it was score effects. It was all in the third. Again, at 5-on-5 in the first period, the Canucks had an expected goals percentage of 84%. 96.8 in the third period, but in the second, 33%. So like, every period was kind of a stark contrast, and it wasn't like the Canucks had their foot on the gas the entire game. Like, it led up in the second and they got bitten for it. Like, that Forsberg goal was great.
It was a weird game.
It's been a weird series.
I think if Petey scored that empty net at the end of the first, I think the Canucks win that game.
Yeah, but it's like hard to discuss like that, because ifs and buts were candy and nuts, right? Like, they lost the fucking game. He didn't score there. It's a pretty big issue that he didn't score there.
Oh, like, I mean, I that was a crazy miss, and I think obviously he's like in his own head, right? I do think part of it is like, did he know how much time was left, and he like rushed the shot a little bit?
Because maybe
if he took a half second, he scores that, right? But God, that was so fucking frustrating to see.
Yeah,
I was losing my mind.
Man, in the third period, according to Natural Stat Trick, the Canucks had 19 scoring chances and 10 high danger chances. 0 high danger against and 2 scoring chances against.
That's so nuts, man. Like, I do want to say this too. I forget if I don't think I told you this, but. Mm. So my dad and I went to the game, obviously, and we were upper bowl, kind of near like where the broadcast like cameras are.
Right. Yeah.
And who ended up sitting directly behind us, but Roxy Fever's own Vyas.
Oh, nice.
direct, just randomly. Wow. They bought tickets that morning. It was great. It was so much fun.
That's a great coincidence. You could have even carpooled home, but.
I know. Well, we took the train, you know.
I guess you're not parking at like fucking downtown Vancouver during a playoff
the
game.
The train, it was so funny on the way back home because it was just silent.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Everyone looking down at their feet, yeah.
That's so Calgary-coded of me, the driving to a hockey game, even though our arena is also downtown, there's just like so much parking in the area and our transit sucks, so there's like pointless
that's
to take
like,
the
that,
train.
That's the best part of Canucks games is like the fact that the train is just right there.
Yeah.
It's so convenient. It's great.
Well, they have trains by the Saddle Dome. It's just they don't have trains in other parts of the city. So, takes longer to, like, get anyways. We're not talking about Calgary public transit infrastructure here. The series feels weird, and the best way I've been able to think about it as, like, an analogy is jacking off. Right.
Okay. So I want to hear this.
Okay.
Let's hear this.
Game one.
Yeah.
Right. That is like a real goon session, and we're not talking about like the goon sessions when Zoomers just like call jacking off gooning. That's not it. You got to have at least two monitors going. You got to edge a bunch of times.
Yeah.
You've got to there's like different porno playing on a bunch of different monitors.
Yeah.
I'm talking with my hands here. You guys can't see it. And you've like typed in like filthy fucking shit and it's like a real big long thing. And eventually you come, right? You bust.
Yeah.
That is, of course, the Canucks winning. The edging is the however many years since we had a significant playoff game that people like really invested and gave a shit about. Or are we saying that was 2011? I guess we're pretty excited in 2012 and it was just like huge disappointment when you got there.
Yeah.
Like I tricked myself into it.
I was checked out by the San Jose series for sure.
Definitely,
And then the series against Calgary, it was just like, you could just tell, even if they got through, they were going to get destroyed the next round. So it was one of those ones where you're like, I kind of rather they had missed the playoffs this year.
Yeah. There's like this huge buildup of tension. And then like when it's released and you shoot off a seven roper and you're like Matrix dodging out of the way because there's just so much built up nut in you. That was game one, right? That's why we had people climbing the Roger Nielsen statue. Yes. And like it looked like the Canucks had won a fucking series to go to the Stanley Cup finals when they won game one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then to go from that to the like dominatrix ruined orgasm of game two, where like you don't get to enjoy it at all and it somehow just dribbled out. And I mean, I never really got into this fetish. I'm not a gooner either. I'm aware of it. but yeah, it's like there's a woman there saying like you're a fucking piece of shit pig and you don't even deserve to come, so I'm gonna ruin it for you. That was really game two, because like there's all the shots, like you think like looking at these underlines, oh man, the Canucks should win again. It did not happen. And you know why it didn't happen, Stefan?
Why is that?
Dan Murphy's law. Whatever will go wrong with the Canucks, could go wrong with the Canucks, will go wrong with the Canucks.
Yep. I mean, that's true. It was just, I couldn't, like, getting that, getting a text, I got a text from my buddy where he just texted just like the, he just texted fuck and then the Demko news, like right as it came out. And it was just like, I had to sit down. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And it was like, look, I think, as far as the race for most cursed franchise in the league goes, it's obviously between Buffalo and Vancouver. I don't want to hear the Toronto argument. They've won Stanley Cups before. Get out of here. You guys are fairly fucking cursed, but you're not that cursed, okay, in the grand scheme of things. To me, it's obviously between Vancouver and Buffalo. Buffalo, I think, pulled ahead pretty substantially this year. Given we had a very fun year and they had a really miserable year with a lot of high expectations. I think the Demko injury pulls them back into a tie.
We're in contention.
That is like when it comes to like the long list of like why the Canucks are cursed, the Demko injury right after they win their first playoff game in 10 years in front of, or 9 years in front of fans, like happening immediately, like that is like just the blueprint. That's like the example I would give of like, this is why it's so bad being a Canucks fan. This is why it fucking sucks, you know? And it just took all the energy out of everyone's sails, right? And like, brutal.
Being at like brutal franchises, I learned an interesting bit of information from my journeyman, who's a Flames fan. Did you know that the Flames, I think it's the Flames and the Sharks, are the only two teams to have never drafted in the top three?
I like, knew that about the Flames.
Yeah, like we have our Canucks thing about, well, we've never won a draft lottery. We have no cup. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Flames have their cup, so like we win. But yeah, that their highest ever draft pick was Sam Bennett at fourth overall. Isn't that crazy?
So what was didn't San Jose pick Patrick Marleau though?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I mean, this
was
just
second overall, I think.
San Jose.
Yeah, he was second overall.
Okay, so like they've never had a first overall.
Maybe they've never drafted first overall.
So like I have like the teams that haven't drafted first overall. It's Anaheim, Calgary, Carolina, Minnesota, Nashville, San Jose, Seattle, Vancouver, and Vegas. Wow. Seattle and Vegas, cry me a fucking river. You've never been around. It's kind of wild given how bad the Sharks started. I know they drafted Pat Maroon, right? Like second overall.
Pat Faloon.
Right. Yeah. Who's Pat Maroon? Is that a guy?
Pat Maroon is the guy on Boston.
Right. Now. Yeah. The big bastard. Yeah. Kind of crazy that like Wild and the Preds, when they were expansion franchises, that they never got up there, right?
Yeah.
And
consider like they were pretty bad.
Yeah, and like the Hartford Whalers had some bad years as well. You would think that they would have anyways.
Yeah. San Jose guaranteed top three this year at least. So they've got that going for them. I'm pulling for them. I really want them to get first overall.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Or hear me out, Chicago gets first overall, which means the only way they could draft Gavin McKenna in 2026 is by coming dead last that year, which they probably
won't. Yeah, I don't want to see him win.
I mean, I don't want them getting Celebrini because he looks insane, obviously. Maybe.
But Gavin McKenna is also.
Gavin McKenna is like, I mean, he's looking like Bedard-esque the way. I don't know if you saw his goal today.
No, I did not.
It was disgusting. Like, he's unreal. Like, he's so, so good. But, I don't know. I mean, I Calgary never picking higher than four is like really crazy.
I mean, that's their like going for it ethos, right?
Yeah, they're always kind of in the mushy middle, I guess. That's true.
I'm really curious if they're going to try and move Kadri this summer. Because like if you look at the...
How long is his contract? He's like
way too long. It is... I thought I already had cat-friendly open. Oh yeah, I do. I'm just pulled up to the Canucks. I think he signed a 7-year in free agency and there's 2 years. So I guess there'd be 5 years left, right? He's got the dreaded red arrow till 28-29. So 5 years left. I was right. It's got the red arrow, even though it doesn't extend past 28-29, which is like the last one on here. Anyways, $7 million till then. He's 33. Okay. He'll be 38 by the end of that contract. But if you're a team that desperately needs center depth, like the Boston Bruins, right? Are you going to pay Sam Reinhart $1 billion? And Reinhart's played more right wing than he has center this year, right? Yeah. That's my understanding of it.
I mean, he's been good, but he's also kind of a power play merchant, which is a good
thing. Yeah, no, it's good. Nothing against that. And like insane shooting percentage bender. I also think he'll probably just stay in Florida,
no taxes.
Yeah, and like they've got a good thing going on there. Like, exactly. Why ruin it? And then, I don't know, are you going to pay Lindholm $7 million?
Probably. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, me neither. Especially if he like wants term or whatever. Part of me's wondering if this was before the Demko injury. I'm like, I wonder if he has like a good enough playoffs, but not like a great one where he has a lot of like playoff success or whatever. If like maybe he'd want to do a 1 year show me. Kind of like Klingberg, right? And see, like, hey, I could actually be good. I don't know if it'd be with the Canucks or someone else, but
I feel like after Klingberg, no one wants to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, unless you're like Timu Solani when he went with Korea to Colorado or whatever.
I can't believe that was when that happened. When I was a little kid, I was like, oh my god, they're gonna win the next like 10 Stanley Cups.
Oh yeah, I thought it was fucking over. Yeah, Sakic, Forsberg, fucking Korea, Solani. I watched that.
Hey Duke,
saving Sakic on the weekend.
Is that about when he signed the offer sheet?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I don't really know about that.
Exactly. You know? So, I was too young, right? Like, I watched.
It was with the Rangers, right?
Yeah, it was with the Rangers because the Rangers lost Messier. And there was a whole bunch of financial trouble with the Colorado Avalanche at the time, as well as the Nuggets. Like, they were losing money after having moved the team there because they're like, their arena was dog shit.
Right.
And so the guy that was like managing Madison Square Garden had formerly worked for the Nuggets and knew this and was like, hey, if we give them a like $15 million signing bonus, they're not going to be able to fucking afford it. And like, they didn't care about giving up 4 first round picks because they're the Rangers. And like, they still had Gretzky, right? And Sakic was so good. They're like, we're getting this young guy. We're going to be competitive. We could probably win another cup.
So crazy. God.
Yeah. Dang. And I mean, you're Joe Sakic. You're like, okay, cool. $15 million in my pocket.
Yeah.
Sign me up. And it wasn't GM. It was like the owner, chairman, whatever of the Avalanche at the time had gotten into movie production. Okay. And he had made Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And so a lot of it like hinged on how well that movie did, of whether they were going to have the capital and be able to afford to re-sign Sakic. And so like in New York, there was newspaper headlines saying, don't go see Air Force One if you want Sakic to come here. It was like a whole thing. Like, Harrison Ford's in the documentary, and it's not like like high art or anything. Like, it's interesting sports documentary. Like, you kind of know the vibe when you're getting into it, but thoroughly enjoyed it. It was fun.
Okay. I'll check that out. Do you remember which Vancouver Canucks signed an offer sheet with Toronto back around the same time?
No.
I have to confirm this, but I believe that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And before he even played a game for the Canucks.
Who?
In 1997, Matthias Olin.
No shit.
Toronto. Yeah.
Huh. That bastard. Yeah. Speaking of offer sheets, I just wanted to toss this by you.
Okay.
Zadorov has been awesome. He's been so good these two games, right?
Yeah.
He's showing like why he would be worth money. Like, as a playoff performer, I think he's got it. He has been, I've loved everything I've seen from him this series. Would you rather Hronik or Zadorov and Tanev?
I think Zadorov and Tanev.
I think so too. If it's like around the same money, which like if it's $8 million, I could see that being the case with like Tanev taking 3 and Zadorov taking 5. Like, yes, neither are as like offensively puck moving talented, but Zadorov's puck moving in the playoffs has been really good.
Looked so good.
You would still have a good partner for Hughes with Tanev, right? Like, I kind of think that's the better option, because then you have 2 guys, not 1. It almost seems like a better use of your money. And then there's plenty left over for signing Joshua, and you're probably not going to get as good of value moving Hronik somewhere, given like his strong arbitration case, given what you paid for him in the first place. But you're still going to recoup something back, right? Then there's assets that you can go on and do other things. So, not saying that I want to see Hronik gone. And I think Hronik played in game 1 his best game in months. I just really like what I've seen from Zadorov a lot. And
he looks built for the playoffs. Like,
same with Joshua. Pay the man whatever he wants. I don't care. Oh. That's priority number 1.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're so much fun out there. I'm interested to see. Like, Nashville's going to come out so hard tomorrow night, obviously. And I don't know. I mean, what I would love is the Canucks score early and just, like, silence the crowd, you know? Because I think the worry is if Nashville scores early and gets, like, 2 goals in the first period, in the first 10 minutes, DeSmith just, like, falls apart because the crowd's going to get on him so much. Right?
Yeah.
And he fucked up when the crowd was cheering for him.
Yeah,
so.
And they do that thing in Nashville where, like, they announce the goal.
And say, you suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's all your fault.
Yeah. We did a goal horn tier list on Go Off Kings this week.
Oh, yeah? And who won?
Canucks was S tier.
Yeah, I agree.
Nashville's was, I think Nashville we had an A tier, maybe.
I don't remember their horn.
The song is like, I like it, I love it, you know, like the country song or whatever.
Sure.
And then they do like the you suck and everything. The horn itself was not anything special. The best one, and we both agreed, was Dallas's. Dallas's is fucking sick.
Yeah, what's the song that they play? Yeah, that's the and it's the song that Pantera wrote for the Stars. Yes, that is a, yeah, is that one is good. Cool. I, yeah. I really
and
like
the horn itself is really like good too. Like,
Detroit S tier.
Oh, because it's without me.
Yeah,
I mean that's we had that in S tier as well.
Yeah, like
it's
when
so
when
good.
You get scored on, especially if it's a big game and you hear, I'd be so fucking mad.
Yeah,
I think the Boston's is probably A tier. Just because of the PTSD that it gives me, and that's like a good hype song.
I put that S tier, to be honest. And I
can
my
see
bias
that.
Aside, because like Zombie Nation is just so good.
Yeah. Right? Like, Oilers, so F tier. I hate that song.
The Oilers is so, and the
it's
their
generic.
Horn is
awful
too. Yeah.
And I also, maybe it's like personal biases. I don't love the Toronto one either.
No, the Toronto one used to be good when it was Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates was
and
nice.
And now it's some
random EDM horse
it
shit.
It sucks now.
And
the
they
Hall &
did like
Oates
a
one
second
really
new one this year that's like crazy and how bad I think it sounds. And it's so bad that I kind of think it's good.
Okay.
Flames is TNT by AC/DC, which is like C tier to me. It's
I think we had that C.
Yeah.
Because I like their horn actually. Their horn is good.
The horn's good. Yeah. The and they also have good. Like these little flamethrowers. We got to get you up to a Calgary game next year.
I would love to.
Just you gotta see the fucking dome.
Because they're getting rid of it, right? Like it's
2027. I think the new arena is going to be built, which is part of the reason. Besides just like Flames ownership being stupid, they've been going for it like every year since I've been alive, probably. But they want to have a competitive team for the new barn that like. Is getting $500 million of public money put into it. So if you like walk into there with a team that's like Chicago Blackhawks level, it's probably going to get panned a lot more. But before, because you're on a timeline, so we can't go on forever. There's a couple more things here, and I think we'd be really remiss if we didn't talk about Pettersson. We like everyone knows we're big Pettersson nut huggers. Defending him all year. Well, not all year because he was fucking awesome until February, which people seem to forget. That was the worst game I think I've ever seen him play on Tuesday.
Insane, man. I mean, I know he just got to himself. You know what I mean? Like, in his own head, obviously, but it was just like.
I know people in like the various text lines and stuff and like the stupidest Canucks fans are out there saying like, he doesn't care. He's not engaged. He very clearly cares. Like, look how bummed he was after he didn't score because he didn't score. Like, he's trying a lot. He had a lot of shot attempts. They're just not going on the net. He's probably trying to do too much. And the question is, like, is there some horrible injury that's affecting his mental or is it just mental? Because, like, look at when he faltered before, right? It was like, I was thinking too much. I was trying to do too much. Are we seeing that again? Or is like some, I don't know, wrist injury or whatever causing him to think like, oh, I'm not at my best. So therefore I'm not as good.
Wrist injury would make sense, I feel like.
Yeah, like my sense is we're going to get something when it is locker cleanout day that he's been fighting through. But I also think that most of the struggles right now are mental. And I also think he's going to be able to pull it out. Like we're so early in the series. If you tell me he scores a hat trick tomorrow, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like he
should have had at least one goal in game two, obviously, right? Like, and I think for me, the most egregious play was the pass across the blue line.
What the fuck was he doing?
We were right by the blue line, and just seeing that happen in slow motion was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what is the, so when he did that, it was like, oh, he's fucked. He's fucked for this game. Like, it's just not happening.
You know? I think similar to how we have to come to terms with the fact that Demko is probably not going to be a workhorse starter because of his injury proneness. Mm-hmm. We also have to kind of accept that Pettersson is a streaky scorer.
Yes.
I guess he wasn't all that streaky last season, but he will have stretches where he looks like a top five player in the world. And you're like, this guy is the Messiah. And then he's going to sometimes get into his own head when things aren't going his way and it's going to look quite bad.
Yep.
Right. Maybe not even quite bad. Cause like the really only one where I'm like, this guy's fucking terrible was last game. So I hope for my sanity consuming Canucks media over the summer and just like narratively throughout next season and then like knock on wood, them making the playoffs again, that he does perform for the rest of the series. So there's not this like he can't perform in the playoffs narrative, which is usually not a thing. Like, remember that was the thing with the Sedins for the longest period of time?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pettersson's thing is, like, he was, like, over a point per game in the bubble playoffs.
Yeah.
This is a different animal, so.
Yeah, exactly. There's far more pressure here now. And then the other thing dovetailing off of that, Hoglander's been bad.
Oh, I could see him getting scratched, to be honest.
I don't know about scratch. Like, you need him to produce because, like, the Canucks are failing to score, and he is someone that's been generating a bunch of five-on-five offense. But, like, again, we are huge Hoglander fans around here. Maybe the two worst games I've seen him play all year, certainly in the, like, the calendar year. He
was just nothing. Just not, he's not hitting guys either. Like, he just was doing nothing.
Yeah. Like, so. He, like, that normal, like, strong board play just wasn't there at all. He, like, wasn't sticky to the puck. He's also barely played. Canucks on ice. So Hoglander at 5-on-5. Why can't I see him here? Probably because his ice time was so low. Yeah, he had 6.5 minutes of 5-on-5 ice time in the last game, which was last on the team. It was like a minute less than Phil Giuseppe. Lafferty played 9.5. Mikheyev played 8:46. And so I was kind of stunned hearing at practice today that they hadn't switched up the lines at all. I was expecting some different formulation. Like, for example, you put Pettersson on the wing with Lindholm and Hoglander, or Lindholm and Mikheyev, whatever you want to do. And then bring back, like, Teddy Bluger to center Joshua and Garland, and then you can keep your JT Miller line the same. Or you go Lotto and have, like, a patchwork third line with Suter, Mikheyev, Hoglander, or whoever. Or even put Pettersson in between fucking Garland and Joshua just to get his confidence up, get him rolling, and you can have Lindholm with either the JT Miller line or centering the third line, because Pettersson going is more important than, like, a good and happy Lindholm, in my opinion. Not to say that Lindholm's played poorly. My preference would be to see him and Pettersson as, like, a duo and work on that more, because that didn't get a lot of runway before. But there is going with the same old shit, so.
Yeah. I'm going to say Canucks win the Sunday game. No, you know what? It's an afternoon game. The Canucks get blown out on Sunday and they win tomorrow.
Yeah, we go back 2-2. That's pretty measured.
I thought we were fucking done with afternoon games, but I guess not.
Yeah. So. They hate our asses, dude. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, go Canucks go.
Yeah.
Slightly less negative than I thought I would be this episode.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
We're measured and rational podcasters.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back. Probably on Monday, I would imagine.
Well, we've only done one this week, so we need to do a Patreon episode. True. So I think Saturday would probably be good, like after the Friday game.
Yeah, I think, we'll talk about
the we'll
game.
Figure it out. We'll figure that out off the air, folks. This is a little glimpse into our schedule. Like, all right, thanks for listening, everybody. Patreon.com/AdaZine. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Slew them and be a feeling that my carry. Them done for barrier and them can't set them carry. Kill them and be a feeling that my carry. Well, you call your tilt them again, mess it up and do them. Who them could have what that them try. Them this little lion, my child, let them die. Who them mommy goes to them with the spill. This is money will on them, so can I hell ya. Who them could have them one cause. Them this Marcus, I know them all by the dust ya. Who them mommy got tell them first word. Geneva put them under the earth. You know, see. Dead sound them, dopey man them, and I don't know with them, the fire have on them, don't condemn, dead man them, them don't know like fire, we don't know like them, they can lie and kill them and be a feeling to my carry, them don't dead already and them can't see them carry, kill them and be a feeling to my carry, bomb clout out right then, that one on them, them not like we and we not like them, them are we enemy we and them no friend, them not like we and we not like them, I look like another that like this, that one. Them no kill we, ya we kill them. Tell them the color, and we not the people friend.
Them no kill we ya, we kill them. This little lion that's where them life and we kill again. Kill out all the informer, them we kill again. Kill out all the backbiter, them we kill again. Kill out all the eaten, them we kill again. Kill out all the sheep, and them we ya go kill out. All of the informer, them no too much informing and a cast bubble, them we ya go kill out. All of the backbiter, them no too much backbiting and a cast bubble, them we ya go kill out. All of the whoopia man, them work too much of upon people, children. Them this little lion will have them condemn. Where's it all on the big people? Friend, me said I want on them. Them no like we are, we no like them. Them are we enemy, we and them no friend. Them no kill we are, we kill them. Hey! I miss the fire, go burn them down. When them see the you, them and I gun them down. Now you think you ready for go jump them down. Little lion ready for go gun them down. I miss the fire, go burn them down. Now you think you jump off, you go jump them down. Little lion ready for go gun them down. Tell them from sun up straight to sundown. Unbuckled. My gun them carry well a extra clip. Boy, I disrespect them business must have a fix. Bumbleclad we send them 6 foot six six. Bumbleclad in a the bottomless pit pit. Bumbleclad me sec. Quick quick clip 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 clip.